Hello and welcome. It is the Sunday Night Supporters Club podcast on the 27th of August 2023. It is a Sunday, as I've said. Hope you are well. Hope you've had a great weekend. I've got to say, I'm really excited to still have tomorrow off work. Certainly feel like I need it as well, which gives us more precious time to get our hands in the soil, tend to my garden, tend to my allotment, and really get ready for this week. Now, this weekend, we have had a bit of a whirlwind of activity. I've been doing a lot of the tasks on the garden and on the allotment. I'm popping back down on the allotment and garden tomorrow just to finish a few things off. But I will get into the details of everything I've been doing in the main podcast tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, I am actually, at the moment, the topic I think I'm going to be discussing, unless anything else pops up, the topic I'm going to be discussing is the less glamorous aspects of allotment tiering. You know, unless something changes my mind, it's not a bit of a negative subject, I know, but I just want to try and tackle this. And the inspiration for this actually came from the fact that all my apples on my apple tree have been stolen, which I'm not happy about at all. And I know this doesn't just happen to me. I've had a conversation with several people who have had apricots and nectarines stolen off their tree in their garden. There have been people who have had entire watermelons off their plot on their allotment. And in fact, a few years ago, I remember reading about a guy who stole some food from an allotment in order to feed his family. When he was in court, he turned around and said, "I couldn't afford to feed my family. I felt I had no choice but to steal this food." I believe he got fined quite severely, but all the allotment holders turned around and said if he had asked for food, they would have given him some. You know, allotmenteers can be some of the nicest people in the world, but cross them and I think it's a bad thing. Anyway, you'll hear more about that on tomorrow's podcast unless I change things up. Now, today I actually sowed the spinach, which is the final set of seeds from this month's gift pack. I can't believe it. You know, it's time flies, doesn't it? We're at the end of August. You will hear what seeds you're getting in September in Thursday's episode. But for now, let's appreciate spinach. Let's take a journey through time and explore where the history of spinach. It's a leafy green that has a story that spans cultures and centuries, and it's a testament to the enduring appeal of this nutritious plant. Spinach's history can be traced back to ancient Persia, where modern-day Iran is, where it was known as aspanaka, I believe it's pronounced. From Persia, this vibrant green vegetable made its way to India and other parts of Asia. Its journey then continued along ancient trade routes to various corners of the world. The spread of spinach was facilitated by the Arab expansion as Arab traders and travellers introduced the plant to Mediterranean regions. It gained popularity in places like Spain and Italy during the 9th century. Spinach's reputation for boosting strength and vitality can be traced back to the 1870s, where German chemists discovered its high iron content. This discovery contributed to the popular image of spinach as a powerhouse vegetable, a reputation famously embraced by the cartoon character Popeye the Sailor. But spinach's journey isn't just about its physical spread, it also holds cultural significance. In many cultures, spinach has been celebrated for its health benefits and versatility in the kitchen. It has found its way into traditional dishes across Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. And beyond its culinary uses, spinach has taken on symbolic meanings through history. In some cultures, spinach has been associated with the renewal and growth, making it a popular choice for springtime meals. Its vibrant colour also represents health and vitality. Over the centuries, spinach has evolved from a wild plant to a cultivated vegetable from various varieties, from the flat-leaved Savoy spinach, the smooth-leafed varieties, gardeners have enjoyed experimenting with different types of soil, different types to suit their tastes and growing conditions. Now today, spinach remains a staple in many cuisines around the world. Its versatility allows it to be used in salads, cooked dishes, smoothies and more. With its rich history and nutritional benefits, spinach continues to thrive as a beloved garden crop. So the next time you're tending to your spinach plants, remember that you're participating in a tradition that dates back centuries, a tradition of nurturing, savouring these vibrant green vegetable has captured the hearts of gardeners and food enthusiasts around the globe. In case you haven't worked it out, I'm reading that off a script because I just want to try and get all the information out there. It's fascinating, isn't it, when you really look into it. Now, to grow spinach, spinach is a cool weather crop. It prefers cool weather. So choose a spot that receives partial shade, especially if the weather gets hot. If we're growing it at this time of year, the colder month, then full sun is suitable. But just make sure the soil is very well draining to prevent any waterlogged roots. Before planting, work compost or well-rotted manure into the soil. This helps improve soil structure and provides essential nutrients for your spinach plants. What I tend to do, no dig gardening, so I just cover it in a mulch of compost. Now, we're going to be growing these seeds. Now, let me say that again. Now, we're going to be growing these spinach in from seed, and we can sow these directly in the ground where they are to grow. Plant the seeds about a centimeter deep and about 5 centimeters apart in rows that the rows have 12 inches for 30 centimeters of space between each row. And if you're working with limited space, don't forget you can grow these in containers or raised beds. Now, the seedlings will emerge and grow, and then we'll need to thin them out to give them about 10 centimetres to 15 centimetres of space between plants. The thinnings can still be eaten. We just eat like young, immature plants, microgreens, if you like. But so don't let them go to waste. Keep the soil consistently moist, but just avoid overwatering, as that can lead to issues. Water the plants at the base to prevent the leaves from getting wet, which can also cause issues. Spinach doesn't generally require heavy feeding, but a balanced fertilizer application during planting can give your plants a good start. If leaves start to turn pale, a light nitrogen-rich feed can help. Chicken manure pellets are usually a good thing for that. Do keep an eye out for pests like aphid or leaf miners or slugs and snails. Use natural methods where you can to manage these pests. Now, spinach leaves can be harvested when they are large enough to use, but still tender, baby leaf spinach. And you can harvest individual leaves or cut the entire plant about an inch above the soil. New leaves will continue to grow from the centre, should you wish to do that. Now, since spinach prefers cooler temperatures, it is well worth sowing every few weeks just to try and get a continuous harvest throughout this season. As I said, I feel this is a good time to sow spinach, and I feel it does best when sown at this time. Now, moving on from that, I just want to remind you guys that I will be away from the end of this week. Thursday and Sunday's podcast are going to be pre-recorded, so they will still be out. But I am away from Thursday. I come back Sunday night. But I am still reachable via email if you have anything you need to get in touch with me about. Just drop us an email, richard@veggrowerpodcast.co.uk. So that is it for today's episode of VegGrower Podcast Supporters Club Podcast. Remember to tune in for tomorrow's podcast and keep those gardening allotments looking great. Until next time, please take care.